a male pubic symphysis, and okay, for you males, you can feel this, for you females, you got a guy, you can actually feel that it's rotated almost out at about a 30 degree angle off of an upright. For a female, if yours for females and males, good luck, okay? It's almost at about a 10 degree angle. So that's one of the decky boys, okay? So part of that is mainly because it opens up that canal, or well, baby had to go through. All right. That's the main indicator I use to look at them, okay? There are other indicators that's like, well, this one compared to this one looks like this. This one does this compared to this one. So that probably should have been the extra credit question, but my bad. Because the olecranon process that I put on there was legitimately one thing that I talked about quite a bit. I even talked about how in animals it's longer than in humans. So if you didn't catch the fact that I appreciate that.
So we did marble?
Much, yeah.
Overall,
thank you.
Average is somewhere around a 50%.
So that was the A.
No. It's not the way it works. Alright, so lecture materials. So we'll start, if we get into it today, a little bit of the blood. I'm going to try and finish up the appendicular muscles, which is... Okay.
This is where we're starting, right? For the next test.
This is where the next test will start. Now, here is the catch on the test. I didn't catch that number... Basically, there's one question that I'm going to give you. Number 37, the prime mover of the arm abduction is the deltoid muscle. That's from this lecture.
I got that one right.
So, the way that it works is it's a blanket 2 points for everyone. I'm pretty sure most of y'all appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
So, and I do see the argument where it was pointed out to me afterwards that there was an option A and a letter A and number four. So, fine. Okay? So, and oh, it's not 2 points, it's 1.5. So there's 3 points overall that you got. Okay. So, gross anatomy of the appendicular skeleton. All right. So.
Got these
10. Okay. So, in this case, now we're going to look at the brachial plexus. So, all right. Nerves are going to come in until they actually hit a juncture. So in this case, the nerves that we have the axillary and the radial, and then we have the median, the ulnar, and the musculocutaneous, like speaking. Okay, from here, once they hit a branch point, now you're gonna get cords, okay? And then divisions and trunks and then roots. So the roots, you have C5, 6, 7, 8, and T1, okay? So, all right, going into the actual muscles themselves. So developmentally, the axial muscles are going to attach to the pectoral girdle and to the body wall. So, with this diagram, so in this case, you have your trapezius muscle, okay? Then below that, you're gonna have your latissimus dorsi, okay? So up here, you're gonna have your deltoid. This is where that question came in that I was talking about. Okay, the primary mover for abducting your arm, moving it away, is going to be your deltoid because of how it's attached and, or excuse me, where it's inserted. You also are going to have this serratus anterior, okay? So the serratus anterior is what is going to take and help erect your rib cage on the feet. Alright, so Rhomboideus major. You notice that it is actually inserting on your scapula. And then you're going to also have your Rhomboideus minor and your levitator scapulae. All right. So, let's go back to this real quick. So, when you take and look at the scapula, a lot of y'all missed things on the scapula. That's fine. Okay? I expect that you're going to miss some things. But you have this medial border. This is where you're actually having your rhomboideus major. Actually, is it going to be origin or insertion?
Insertion.
Okay. So it's going to originate along your spinal column.
Why?
Okay.
What's the difference?
Okay. So origin is the least movable.
Least movable.
Least movable of the two. Okay. Insertion is the most movable of the two. Action is what it does. Okay? So in this case, your rhomboideus major, the action would actually be to rotate your scapula both medially and slightly cranially. Alright, same thing for your rhomboideus minor, your levitator scapulae, same thing. Alright, so this table is roughly what I was going through, but it adds in a little bit more on the spinous processes. So which spinous processes does it actually insert into? Okay, table I would know. Alright. So, muscles of the thorax and the shoulder. Okay, so you have your trans minor muscle. You are going to have, stand over this left foot. All right, so you have your supraspinatus. So that is above the spine, that was on your practical. Okay, below that you have your infraspinatus, okay? Your deltoid, one we just talked about. You're going to have your trace minor, okay? Then you have your triceps here, latissimus dorsi. These are the major muscles. You should know some of these already. Hopefully you've had exposure in your life to any kind of athletics program. All right, so there's a long head and a lateral head of your triceps brachii. Yeah, some of y'all gave me that on your practical. Awesome. You were further along than what I expected on that. Okay? I just wanted you to say on your practical at least triceps. Okay? If you gave me triceps, triceps brachii, I took both being nice. Okay? All right. What I really wanted to see was triceps brachii. Okay? All right. So,
we should have triceps brachii for next.
So, I mean, that's something that hopefully you know by now. Okay, triceps brachii. All right.
It's the name of the chart that we're supposed to know. It's two slides back. Here, this one. Oh.
That one. So, it's the axillary. Because that's where you put the X. All right. So, you have your infraspinatus. You have your trace minor. You have your supraspinatus. Okay. There is a whole lot more as far as labeling. I will, like I said, defer to your lab at this point. Okay, what is in your lab is what you need to make sure that you know. The subscapularis is deep. Some of y'all put subscapularis for the supraspinatus. So subscapularis would have been under the scapula. What I found is somebody had actually went through and when they were dissecting, found the actual subscapularis. When they found it, you could see that the scapula itself was peeled back and off and there was a gap behind it. Okay, that should have been dead giveaway number one. Dead giveaway number two, for which one was infraspinatus, was the actual spine. You should have seen the line running down it. I didn't let y'all touch or feel, so yeah, you were at a little bit of a disadvantage. But if you looked over on the side, you saw that I took your muscle layer above the spine and peeled it back. So you gotta look at context clues. You can't just go off of what you physically see there. All right, so now we're looking at the rotator cuff muscles. So the four that are the primary ones that I want you to look at are these, your supraspinatus, infraspinatus, tres minor, and subscapularis. Okay. So you are also going to have in this table your pectoralis minor, okay? So it's actually going to attach to the coracoid process of the scapula and the inferior ribs 3 and 5. This is what helps maintain the front portion of this rotator cuff. Okay, you have your subscapularis, infraspinatus, supraspinatus, and tres minor. They're all going to build the backside. All right. So, muscles of the thorax and shoulder. So, your pectoralis major, in you, it is larger than your pectoralis minor. Deltoid, biceps brachii. So, I think there was, I don't think anybody mixed up the leg and the arm of the cat. Believe me, I've had it happen before though. Literally somebody thought the rear or hind leg of the cat was the forelimb, okay? They had it backwards and they had everything they thought lined out. Well, they should have noticed some big differences. All right, so you can also notice that your pectoralis minor is going to be deep to your pectoralis major, okay? You also have a subclavian muscle. It runs below your clavicle. Your clavicle is fixed in place on your cat. If you looked and found it, it is actually free floating. It is not attached to the sternum of the cat, okay? Your serratus, anterior muscles, okay? You should have been able to see them, hopefully, if you peeled back enough muscle layers on the side of your cat, you would have actually seen them. I thought about using them on the practical because there was one group that had them well, but I just couldn't find them fast enough, okay? All right, so trapezius muscle, okay? One way that I've always kind of remembered it is if you're a trapeze artist, you're definitely gonna have a built up trapezius, okay? All right, now deep to that, you're gonna get your rhomboid minor and your rhomboid major. They will be under your trapezius muscle. Okay, tres minor, tres major, infra and supraspinatus, and your levator scapulae. Notice those are from earlier. Alright, so I think I've covered just about everything here except for now we're getting into the forearm. Okay, so in this case, now you have your brachialis and your brachioradials. In this case, you are talking about a muscle that's going to allow you to do this, okay? So your brachioradials and your brachialis muscles are what allow you to actually flex your forearm. Part of it is also due to the fact that you have the biceps brachii with flexion. All right. I'm trying to make sure I don't move anything wrong. All right, so adductors, being able to pull it towards the body, and abductors, away from the body. So your pectoralis major, latissimus dorsi, and tres major are gonna bring it back. Your deltoid, okay, I know it's deltoideus, but your deltoid is going to be your adductor, okay? Out. Excuse me, abductor. All right. This is one I would know. All right. So Triceps, your long head, it is going to be the longer of the two. Triceps lateral head is the shorter of the two. The names kind of give you a dead giveaway of which one's which. Since we've already made this, passed this in your practical, you don't really need to know it on your cat, but being able to look at it in a diagram, bless you, of a human arm is what I would be expecting you to do in this class. Okay? So for lecture test, you could expect that there would be an arm or a leg from a human, and I ask you to identify the muscles. Good? All right. So triceps medial head doesn't necessarily show, usually because it is covered by your long head. Okay? That is where it gets its name, tri. Okay, because it has three heads. So you're going to have your long head, you're going to have your lateral head, and then you have your medial head. All right. Carotobranchials. So in this case, it is what is going to help bring your arm in. It is going to be an adductor. Biceps brachii, flexion in this case. Brachialis, flexion also. You notice it's across the joint. All right. Alright. Muscles of the brachial region. So this is if you were to cut a, what kind of section would this be if you look at anatomical position? Transverse. Okay? It would be a transverse section. Usually not the way something's identified, but it at least shows you the relative thickness of the muscles, which gives you an idea of how much of a role they play. With your muscles, it's something that's been fine-tuned. Attachment points and the ability to have the rotational motion and the fine-tuned motion that you have is something that evolution has driven. Okay? And this was pointed out earlier. I talk a lot about evolution. Sometimes I'll bring up DNA. Sometimes I'll talk about how things are selected against or for. That's something that's intro bio material. Okay, so if you haven't had intro bio yet, that goes great. Just know it won't be on a test, but I'm trying to make connections for those of y'all that have had intro bio. Okay? Alright. So, brachial flexors and extensors. This one I think is almost straightforward. Yeah, you need to know it, but I don't think most of this you have to actually memorize except for the attachment points. Alright, so muscles of the antebrachial region. So now we're getting into your hand and forearm. How in the world do they work? So, your brachial radialis is going to be associated with your humerus and with your radials. Okay, brachial usually means your humerus. Okay, it's the brachial region of your body. Flexor carpi radialis in your lap. Okay, flexor carpi ulnaris in your lap. All of these are set up to be able to give you this motion. Okay. So they're going to run down through the flexor retinaculum. So I think I've mentioned it before. There's that band that holds all of your tendons down. So that way when you do this, you don't get this lovely skin lifting up and you don't have this extra skin laying around. Okay? All right. So I think common flexor tendon, I don't think that was in your lab. Medial epicondyle was. Where's radius and ulna? Flexor digitorum superficialis, I think was in your lab, also on your cat. All right. Flexor carpi ulnaris, and so the one thing that I will add beyond what was in your lab is this extensor retinaculum.
Is that the band?
That is that band to hold everything in place. Alright. So here they are lined out. And it gives you a way to memorize it. So your pronator teres, your flexor carpi radialis, your palmaris longus, and your flexor carpi ulnaris are all in this general region. They run in this line. Okay, if you notice the lateral motion. So that is what allows you to take. So same hand, right? That. Okay? They're pulling at an angle across. So if I don't know that I can do that. There you go. Okay? So with that motion, you now have four muscles that are all working in a synergistic direction. Okay? So they're all working together. Alright, brachioradials and the extensor digitorum, and of course your extensor carpi ulnaris are all going to allow you to make that motion. I'll just show you.
Is this for the practicum?
So, a lot of this would have been things that you've seen on the practicum. Okay? However, for the test, since this got bumped to this next test, okay, you can expect to see diagrams. Okay? I will limit it to what was on your actual lab manual besides the one band that I added, this extensor retinaculum. Okay? So, when you go through these diagrams, the reason why I say this is because these diagrams have way more labels than what you really need to look at. Okay? So if you go into the lab and you look at the forearm of the cat and you say, okay, there's, I can't remember exactly how many muscles there are there, but say seven. There's seven muscles there in the forearm of the cat. Go through and you circle those seven on this slide. And you say, those are the ones I need to know. That's it. Okay? Does that make sense? Because these diagrams, I haven't had a chance to go through and doctor them the way I want to. So it's just something that takes time. One of these days, I'll get through, I'll go through, and I'm going to cover them up with blank boxes. Okay? All right.
So next Saturday, we're going to have the test and all this, right?
So, no.
No?
No. Now, you're going to, so we're going to go through cardio, lymphatic, this, and I want to say after that, we're going to hit pulmonary. And then there's a test, I think. Maybe. No.
We have a quiz on the 17th.
Yeah. Hold up. I gotta go. That's making me juggle. Alright. So, your next quiz is on November 17th. Your next physical exam is the final exam on December 8th. You have a practical on December 1st. Good? Okay. And on your next test, you'll have this, so this PowerPoint, cardio, lymphatic, respiratory, endocrine, and digestive. That's probably all I'm going to get to.
What will be on the final?
So, this little chunk of muscle, okay? So, more than likely, you can expect five questions from this, or less than five questions from this overall, probably being just a diagram, okay? And your cardiovascular and lymphatic, those two are kind of big. Those are one of my favorites. And then your respiratory tract and endocrine systems, digestive system also being on there. The urinary and reproductive systems probably won't get to. That's the final.
So it's not the skeletal, the muscle, the joints. Mm-hmm. It's just what we're doing from
here. It's just, It's the last exam. It's not a final. Okay. So, it's the, Y'all, no.
Perfect.
It was never done to me that way, so therefore I would never do that. Alright, so, and here's one caveat that I'm going to say. These transverse sections are nice, never would I ever use them on a test. Okay? They all kind of look the same. Unless you go through and memorize the small little details between them. If you see an arm that is cut in a transverse section, you've got bigger problems. Okay? So, breakdown of your lumbosacral plexus. So, the plexuses are in here. Not really something that I'm going to go through. Okay? This is not something that would be tested worthy at this point. We're already beyond that. That would have been on this test had we covered this on time. Okay, so this one and the previous plexus at the beginning of the slideshow, just go through them if you're interested. Alright. So, muscle, the hip, thigh, and knee. So, now we're starting to get into how in the world do you have these large, stable joints? You have large stable joints because you have multiple muscles that are attached at different angles, and they're going to either be synergist, antagonist, or they're going to, well, for the most part, be have some kind of action. So, iliacus is going to actually originate on the ilium, assuming the iliac crest, okay? So it's going to insert right here along that crest line. And then you have your insertion, which is going to be your lesser trochanter. Okay? Hopefully you saw that on the practical, greater and lesser trochanter. Innervation is your L2 through L4 branches from the femoral nerve. The function is to flex and externally rotate the hip. Alright. Psoas. So the psoas is actually going to originate on your T, so your thoracic vertebrae 12, and go all the way to L5, your lumbar vertebrae. Insertion is going to be your lesser trochanter also, so if you notice now you have two muscles specifically that are attached to your lesser trochanter. This is what gives you the ability to control your adductive motion, limit it, and then bring in your adduction, okay?
The
All
two right. muscles would be the psoas minor and the psoas major?
No.
No?
Psoas and then your iliacus, okay? All right, so muscles of the hip, thigh, and knee. So, let's see. If I remember the way this is set up. Yeah. So, here they all are together, and we're going to go ahead and move on. So, pectineus, some of y'all found it in your calf. Okay? Your adductor brevis, more than likely didn't find that in the calf. And your adductor longus. So, if you notice, they're named for their actual action in this case for these two. Your pectineus, well, it is named because when the original person started to name this, and I forget who it was, they felt that it functioned a lot like the pectoralis muscles. That's why it's named pectineus pectoralis, okay? It's also named based on its shape. Alright. Yeah, you can leave those two off. Adductor magnus and obturator externus.
Yes.
Alright, muscles of the hip, thigh, knee. So, in this case now you're looking at your sartorius and you, not in the cat. You notice there's quite a big difference. The sartorius in the calf was fairly thick and wide compared to this, relatively. Okay? Your rectus femoris was also very different in your calf. And your vastus intermedius was also different in your cat. But this is what it looks like in a human. Alright. So your vastus lateralis and vastus medialis are two muscles that you should also know. Now we're looking at your quadriceps. Alright. Now your gluteus. So you do have a gluteus maximus, gluteus medius. In your cat, there was a gluteus superficialis. Okay? Didn't really ask you to go through the gluteus superficialis, if I remember correctly. I think I noted that it's hard to actually see. You can peel it back most of the time. Most of the time, I'll just tear it off. But your gluteus medius in your cat was larger. Everything is named based off of the human. Okay, that's where naming really started. Naming stuck, and we just translate everything else to whatever animal we're looking at. So your gluteus medius and you is actually a medium size. Okay, your gluteus maximus is the largest of the two. So you also have your semitendinosus and your semimembranosus. Those are two that were in your lab. Your gracialis is here. And your biceps femoris, which we've already talked about. Okay. I think we've just about went through all of these except for now the knee. Alright. So, down at the knee, you have this lovely little sideways muscle. Okay, because it's just popping its way in. So, the popliteus muscle, okay, it does help in sideways stability of the knee. All right, so gluteus maximus now has been cut away, so now we're actually looking at muscles deep to the gluteus maximus. So, you do have gluteus minimus, and you have the gluteus medius that's been cut away also. So deep to your medius is your minimus. So minimus, medius, maximus. All right. And you are going to also have your quadriceps femoris in that region also. So this is what allows for this rotational motion. If you look at the piriformis and your orbitrator, yeah, this is not on your test, don't worry about this. But the piriformis, it is not on your list for your cat. Add in the piriformis. All right. So your gluteus maximus. Now, your gluteus maximus in your cat, I said, was small. You can see it here in yellow. Your gluteus medius, which I said is deep to your gluteus maximus, and then deep to your gluteus medius is your gluteus minimus. This is why you have that large concave, what is this called? Now, what is this called? The actual dip. Just give me the general name. Fossa.
Fossa.
Okay. So, you have that because of the insertion of the muscles. Your gluteus maximus, medius, and minimus. Alright. This. Okay. So this one. Know the muscles. Okay. I would not worry about the attachments of this. Just know the muscles, be able to identify them in the diagram. Okay. So lower leg now. Your gastrocnemius, your soleus. Okay. The one that is going to give you the most trouble for shin splints is your tibialis anterior. That's the one that gives you shin splints. Okay? What shin splints is when you have a lot of friction built up, you've broken away the fascia. Now you're taking and pulling a little bit of bone with it. That's why it gives you problems and irritation.
Say that one more time for shin splint, please.
So, you're taking that tibialis anterior muscle and it's running on the front side of that tibia, so it's sitting right here. As you overuse it, which is what causes this, because you're doing this motion too much. When you're overusing it, it's you're pulling it up off of the tibia itself. Pull it up off the tibia, you're breaking that fascia that connects it, that keeps it in place. You're also ripping just a little bit of bone with it, and that's why it becomes a chronic issue over time if you keep overusing it. So that's why they tell you typically, every time I've seen it was in boot camp, but they would always tell people, hey, quit moving. Just stop using it. You're overusing it. So the only way it's going to get better is if you allow that fascia to heal. Okay. All right. Like I said, default to your lab. So gastrocnemius, there's a lateral head and a medial head, and your soleus muscle does help in stabilization. These are going to attach to your calcaneus, okay, through your Achilles tendon. It got its name mainly because of fable. All right. The Achilles tendon, the technical name is the calcaneal tendon. So your tibialis anterior, so this is the muscle I've talked about. It's going to go through each one of them individually and identify them. Okay. Yeah. Okay, these two muscles, so the peroneus longus and the peroneus brevis, these are going to be deep to your gastrocnemius. And your gastrocnemius, medial head, lateral head, soleus, brought it up a couple times already, and your plantaris. Plantaris is not something I usually put in this class, so skip it. All right, now we're done. So, I got 9 minutes to go through blood. So we will start with blood, which is going to be posted hopefully sometime today.
Just give plantaris, right?
Yep. That's not something that I usually put in this class. I know there will be some things that I'm changing for next year, but for the purposes of right now, okay. So, cardiovascular system. Blood cells. We've already seen them before on a slide. Okay? You've already seen that tissue. What kind of tissue is a blood, or is blood? What category does it fall into? Connective tissue. Thank you. So, connective tissue is because it connects all portions of your body together as much as possible. Okay, so transportation, it functions to transport oxygen, nutrients, hormones, ions, and waste. It is the superhighway of your body. Okay? Cardiovascular system anatomy. So you have blood, that's your carrier. Okay? Your blood's primarily made up of two different parts. We'll talk about that in a second. Your heart is the muscular double pump. Just to kind of give you a heads up, I like the heart a lot. Heads up, I took a whole class on the evolutionary distinction between crocodilian hearts, fish hearts, and frog hearts. Okay, so
You want us to know like the anatomy or how it works?
So the next PowerPoint, so the next chapter we'll go into. And it's both. So the heart is a, well, okay, take that back. For this class, it can't be solely both, so mainly anatomy for this class.
Idea of like this goes here, X here.
Yeah, it will, if you understand the flow, it makes understanding the anatomy that much easier for the heart. And we'll talk about it. I'll have some examples, and I'll throw my horrible heart up here later. So, heart is a muscular pump. It creates pressure. It creates two different pressures. One for your pulmonary side, one for your systemic side. The differences that I'll bring up throughout here, there will be some where I will talk about a crocodile, or I'll bring up a frog as an example. When I do that, just know those are off the test just to help you understand something or maybe get interested in something. All right, blood vessels. There's mainly one big convention here. Arteries is away from the heart, always. It doesn't tell you whether they're carrying oxygen or deoxygenated blood. That's after the fact. Arteries is always away, the direction. Okay, that's why I say understanding the function helps you. Veins is always into the heart. Okay? So a vein brings it back to the heart. Capillaries, so they're the smallest blood vessels. That one's usually not hard. If you've ever had chemistry, you've probably used a capillary tube. The advantage of using a capillary tube is whatever fluid you touch it to, the fluid will move up into the tube every time. And then you can do an analysis based on that sample you just took. All right, so I already covered that. So transport substances from one place in the body to another. This is the list. Regulating, so blood functions and regulation, body temperature being one of them. It allows you to push heat out. That heat you can push out through opening up your capillary beds and pushing more blood flow to the external surface of your body. Normal pH, it is what helps regulate pH. We have buffers. I think I was talking with somebody earlier. If you're taking physiology next semester, understanding chemistry is a good idea. If you haven't had chemistry and you're about to get dropped into physiology, do yourself a favor over winter break while you're eating whatever you're eating, pie, turkey, whatever. Okay, sit down and watch some chemistry videos. There's a crash course set of videos for chemistry. I highly suggest you do it. Even if you have taken the course, it's a nice review. All right. So fluid volume is another part of it too, because if you can't maintain fluid volume, gravity pulls all your fluid down to your ankles, okay? And then you don't have any returning fluids and you just get edema at the ankles. And well, if it gets bad enough, you don't have the circulation you need to continue to live. All right, protection. Restricting fluid loss at injury sites through clotting and defending the body against toxins and pathogens. So, composition of blood. Extracellular matrix. So, blood plasma is 55% of your blood. The cells that form the elements are 45%. So, the plasma itself, if you donate plasma, you're donating water, solutes, and proteins. That's mainly what you are donating, okay? Cells, the formed elements. So you have your erythrocytes, leukocytes, and thrombocytes. Your thrombocytes are going to be platelets, so they're fragments of old cells. Your platelet count is something you want to usually monitor if you're looking at a blood test. Your platelet count tells you how well your blood tissue is doing, because the higher the platelet count, usually the more issues you have with blood cells dying. Also with being maintained through through being filtered out by certain organs. We'll get into later. Erythrocytes, the red blood cells, this is hematocrit on a blood test. It's a percent of blood volume that is the red blood cell. So usually you're looking at most of your actual formed elements are going to be your hematocrit and platelets. Those are usually the highest two. Physical characteristics of your blood is sticky, opaque fluid with metallic taste. Now, opaque fluid, it depends on your oxygen binding sites. Color varies with this O2 level. What's up?
What is that opaque? What does that mean?
So, clear to transparent, okay? What gives it color is the red blood cells. The red blood cells are going to be scarlet to a dark red. If they are actually going to be a dark red, the darkest color that you can get, that means it's heavily oxygenated. If it is not oxygenated, you're looking for scarlet color. Why in the world, when you look into your skin, do you see blue? Okay, that's what a lot of people like to think. Okay, so really and truly, all it is an optic illusion. Okay, it's based on light colors and penetrations of wavelengths of light. Okay, so it's gonna always be red. All right, your pH, 7.35 to 7.45. It is just slightly on the basic side. All right, we're done. And I think I just took like 3 minutes of y'all's time. So you got a couple minutes late to lab. It's okay. So I will see y'all in labs here at